Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Yuma, Daf Beis, Yuma, or Yoma, depending on how you pronounce it, too. So it says, with respect to the service of Yom Kippur, it says in Parshas Achrimos, the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 32, V'chipera kohen asher yimshachoto. This teaches us that the atonement that takes place on Yom Kippur has to take place through the Kohen Gadol. He is the high priest, is the one who has to do the service in the temple. And the Gemara in Horios 12b tells us that all the sacrifices on Yom Kippur are only kosher if they come from the high priest, the Kohen Gadol. So our Masechta begins with this idea that the preparation of the Kohen Gadol to do is to do this task on the night of Yom Kippur and on the day of Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah begins, Shivas Yamim Kodim Yom HaKippurim Afrishin, Kohen Gadol Mibeis Olishkas Parhedrin. 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, we separate the Kohen Gadol from his house, meaning to say he doesn't live at home anymore, and we separate him from his wife, and he lives in the chamber of the Parhedrin, which was a chamber in the courtyard that was designated for the Kohen to wait there during the days prior to Yom Kippur. It's very powerful that the Masechta begins with the idea of Shivas Yamim, 7 days, because we know that the occult concept of 7 days is the concept of Shabbos, that he has one Shabbos as part of his preparation, as part of his spiritual preparation for service in the temple. This idea that these 7 days need to be in continuation. So if he misses one day, Svasama says that he misses the mitzvah. It's not for 7 days, but it's 7 complete days. He has to have a complete week, complete Shabbos of purity. And so therefore he can't go home to his home in between. He's not allowed to do that. Also, what do we learn from this idea that he has to separate from his house for 7 days? That Rashi and Tosfos say explicitly he's not allowed to leave his house. He's not allowed to go leave the temple at all during this period. What does it mean when it says mibeso? So it says he needs to leave his house. So the Gemara understands davav that mibeso means he has to separate from his house, meaning to say he's not allowed to be with his wife intimate during those days. And the Gemara explains the reason is because we're concerned that if he's going to be with her intimately, that she's going to have blood during that period, and then she's going to be perhaps a nida, and then he'll be tummy for 7 days, and he wouldn't be allowed to come into the temple during that period. The Lishkas Parhedrin was a chamber that was called the Lishkas Parhedrin because the Kohanim Gadolim, who were referred to as the Pekidei HaMelech, the officers of the king, and therefore Parhedrin is a nickname for the Kohanim Gadolim. That's what the Meiri says, and so that's what the Lishkas Parhedrin, the chamber of the officers of the king. So the Mishnah continues, Umaskinan lo Kohen Achar Tachtav. We prepare another Kohen in his place, meaning to say that we establish another Kohen to serve in case Shema Yera Bopsul, in case that this first Kohen is going to have a disqualification, maybe he's going to have an emission of seed or some other ritual impurity which will prevent him from serving in the temple, and then he wouldn't be able to serve properly. So we establish another Kohen in his place because, as we said earlier, that there needs to the service of the temple on Yom Kippur is only going to be kosher through the Kohen Gadol. The Yerushalmi explains that they were very careful that they didn't put the two Kohanim, the replacement Kohen with the initial Kohen, in his place, because we're concerned that maybe the second Kohen will, God forbid, kill the first Kohen to get his place. And also, we don't anoint the second Kohen because we're concerned that only the one Kohen should be anointed. Yet at the same time, this is also a very powerful idea for me, that the Kohen Gadol is about to serve in the temple. He's might be thinking, look how important he is. He's the Kohen Gadol. He's serving in the temple. Everything relies upon him. That's the message that he has as he's going in. But yet we tell him, no, you think you're the only one who could do this? We already have a replacement lined up for you. That everybody is replaceable. Your replacement is sitting there waiting in the wings should something happen to you. Yes, you're very important, but you're also easily replaceable. And that's the fundamental message that the Kohen Gadol was receiving right at the very beginning. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, not only do they have in the waitings another Kohen Gadol to replace him, another Kohen to replace him if he becomes Tamei, but Rabbi Yehuda says Afisha Cheres Maskinim. We also prepare another wife for him. Mean to say, Shema Tomos Isho. Let's say his wife will die before he completes the service on Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol needs to have two wives at the needs to have a wife at the moment that he does the service. The Kohen Gadol is required to be married, as it states about the sin offering that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur. It says, V'kriv Aron Esparach Hatas Asher Lo'Uvichiper Bado Uva'ad Beiso. He needs to service an atonement for himself and for his household. And the Chum explain, Beiso Zuishto. When it says for his household, that refers to his wife. And this teaches us that that the atonement offering that he brings on himself and for his wife, that the Kohen Gadol needs to be married on Yom Kippur. And so therefore, we marry another woman, we have another woman waiting, or we marry him to another woman before Yom Kippur. That means to say, even if his first wife will die, he'll have a second wife waiting for him. So the Gemara understands this to mean to say that he has to actually be married to her. It's not enough that she's just waiting to be married. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say, no, Amrlo Imkain and Ladover Sof. They say, no, if that's the case, there's never going to be no end to the possibilities. Maybe the both wives will die. And so therefore the Chachamim don't accept this level of concern. We see from here a very important point, that the whole tractate is basically about atonement and about what you need to do through the process of repentance and atonement to achieve, again, coming in front of Hashem on Yom Kippur, that we achieve ritual spiritual purity. But we also have to bear in mind at the very beginning, Ein Ladover Sof, that you can't go crazy, that you can't fill every single possibility. England ever so, sometimes there's no limit, there's no end to the end, and so therefore you have to just say, I've done as best as I can at some point, and all the rest is in Hashem Yisbaral's hands.